Hey guys, I know I don't say this enough, but I'm gonna say it now. When push comes to shove, you guys are always there for me. And you really hung in there, and you've always been so close to me. So don't take this the wrong way, but I got you something. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too.
Bubble Genius has all kinds of stuff for dads this Father's Day, like Mr. Mister, refreshing facial spray for dudes, Pit Stop all-natural deodorant, and I Love You Guys powder for your nads. Something for everyone, including dear old dad, at BubbleGenius.com.
BubbleGenius.com.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
This was not written for chiefs.
Hear me. Hear this! Among my people, we carry many such words as this from many lands, many worlds. Many are equally good and are as well respected. But wherever we have gone, no words have said this thing of importance in quite this way. Look at these three words written larger than the rest, with a special pride never written before or since. Tall words proudly saying, we the people. That which you called Eid Plebnista was not written for the chiefs or the kings, or the warriors, or the rich, or the powerful, but for all the people. Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning out of the words, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. To ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution, these words and the words that follow were not written only for the Yangs, but for the Koms as well.
The Koms?
They must apply to everyone, or they mean nothing. Do you understand?
Do not fully understand.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Pleasure is just a click away with radio as your guest. There's no quicker way, so click away. Radio does the rest.
Kids are soft. You lack discipline. But I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me. You're not gonna have your mommy slam behind you anymore and wipe your little douches. Oh no. It's time now to turn this mush into muscles. No more complaining. No more Mr. Kimble to go to the bathroom. Nothing. There is no bathroom!
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It's Thursday, June 7th, 2012, and it's the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez, brought to you by Bubble Genius, who's clearly there setting the Wayback Machine with their very first commercial rerun right there. That was the very first Bubble Genius commercial I think they ever made.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was for the
where they have like the Village of the Damned filter on the on their voices.
Yeah. It was it's for their talcum powder.
Right.
The folks at WPWC 1480 AM, We Act Radio in Washington, are having to decide whether or not NADS is acceptable for.
Oh come FCC. On! If you could say it on Beavis and Butthead.
But can you say it in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday?
Sure, why not?
A mere blocks from the actual Federal Communications Commission. We the people.
Love that. It's just so wonderfully Shatner.
It is. It really is.
Shatner is an adjective.
I like his pronunciation of tranquility. No, no one says
like
tranquility.
Sabotage. You ever
sabotage.
Heard that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Sabotage. I love the idea. It pretty much sets the tone for the rest of our history that our country was founded on a grammatical error. A more perfect union. It's either perfect or it isn't. There is no more perfect.
That's like saying very unique, right?
Yeah.
It's totally either unique destroyed. Or it's not. It's
right, totally destroyed.
That's right. I remember there was an episode of The West Wing where Toby thought he found a stray comma, like a grammatically incorrect comma in the Constitution. I mean, you really have to know your constitutions, know your crap in order to pick out a comma. Turned out it was a smudge. So, hey, welcome to the show. We've got lots to talk about today. And, you know, as has been happening the last few weeks, there have been so many things in the bucket of show that it's actually kind of overlapped into the after party. So if you're not a member of the after party just yet, you want to subscribe to the after party, $6 a month. You go to bobsesca.com or at the top of the page, there's the link that says, hey, look, it's the after party. And you go there and you put in your PayPal information. And you can listen to the show. It gives you members-only access to the best, coolest 1980s jackets ever.
And for that, we have sex with you. Multiple times.
I'd say you get the after party every week. You get extra links and fun things like that that we include with the after party, links to videos and things that no one else gets. You'd be a part of like an exclusive kind of club. So,
nothing wrong with that.
Also, we're unofficially brought to you by FullStrength.com. It's my favorite fitness shake, my favorite fitness drink, FullStrength.com. So where do we begin? God, so many things to talk about this week. There's a new Karl Rove Crossroads GPS commercial I want to talk about. There's there's a great commercial for a guy running for Congress, and I don't want to spoil anything of it because it's going to come by way of a challenge. You're going to have to pick out which ad is the fake ad. I'm going to play two ads, and you're going to have to determine. This comes to us via Ashby on the blog. You're going to play two ads, and you're going to have to determine which ad is the fake one. And it'll be difficult. It'll be difficult to decide which one is.
So, in other words, you're once again going to prove my point, the argument that I've been making incessantly lately, that we are beyond parody.
We are beyond parody. There's no disagreement there.
Right. We've gotten to the point now where satire is completely unnecessary because everything on its own is so screwed up and so funny.
The reason I thought to play Arnold Schwarzenegger at the top of the show there is I've been thinking about Arnold since Tuesday. And specifically when it comes to the...
Just wondering how he's doing, if he's okay.
If he's okay. I was just worried about him. You know, he's not looking good. See, he's got. I think he's in some new awful Stallone movie where he's in the
Expendables too. He's new. He's in the original Expendables, but apparently this one his role's a little bit bigger.
Great. Well, good.
His roles are a little bit bigger.
There is no bathroom. Yeah, my Arnold thing is I go around that. I don't really do an Arnold voice, and I don't actually do him speaking. I can, but I don't.
Do you just rattle off Arnold quotes while you're by yourself?
Yeah, what I do is I just make the Arnold noises. I just walk around and stuff like if I'm trying to open open a jar, like open a like really hard top to get off a jar, like
So basically, you know. Like Patton Oswalt did a bit on his last record where he talked about how if the CIA bugged his car, that he would be the CIA's Christmas reel every single year because of all the ridiculous crap he says in his car that like just makes nonsensical noises. And I do that sometimes too. I'll freely admit it. When I'm alone in the house, oh my God, the crap that comes out of my mouth.
Mowing the lawn, pushing the lawnmower up a hill.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Nothing. The two scenes that summed up the Arnold guttural noise best in his career were being tossed out into the non-atmosphere of Mars in Total Recall and hanging out of the plane in Eraser. Exactly, yeah, that's it. As a matter of fact, if you go to YTMND, which is You're the Man Now, Dog, and just put in... You honestly should do it now. Hysterical. We'll save it for the after party. Put in search, I think it's Arnold talks about his true feelings. And it's just a loop of that. It's just a loop of that noise.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't know you could actually grunt with an Austrian accent. That's amazing. He can actually grunt with his accent. But the reason I was thinking about him is Wisconsin. And Wisconsin was a disaster on Tuesday.
It was.
Scott Walker, you know, just, I mean, he just clobbered the other guy. And that's my point here. The other guy.
You the know, other guy, right, the nobody.
The big mayonnaise, white bread, nobody. The mushy
the guy
Democrat.
He beat before.
Yeah, the guy who lost to Scott Walker already.
It's like the old gag about taking milk out of the refrigerator, trying it, it's sour, and then putting it back in. Maybe it'll be better later.
Right. Maybe they'll fix itself.
Right. We'll just take care of that by itself.
But I mean, my God, you know, there was admittedly a gigantic disparity in fundraising. I think Walker had, you know, outraised Barrett by an 8-1 margin, something like that.
It was an 8-1 margin, and I do agree that whether, regardless of how I feel about the recall itself, whether I thought that Scott Walker deserved to be recalled or just any of that. Yeah, I think that this recall more than anything highlights what the infusion of cash into campaigns does.
That's right.
Just how severely you can be outgunned if your opponent has, you know, a massive, massive war chest.
Well, even worse, I mean, the Democrats continue to run these milquetoast, lame, mushy candidates who don't really command a presence. They don't really command a stage. I think Barack Obama is obviously an exception, and there are obvious exceptions, you know, throughout the party. And right. those are usually successful. But if you really want to lose, pick a guy, Democrats in Wisconsin, pick a guy who's already lost to Scott Walker. Yeah. Dumb, dumb, dumb. Meanwhile, you know, I was comparing it the other day to...
You were comparing it very wisely to the Gray Davis recall.
Yeah, to California. And who the hell did the Republicans run against
Arnold.
Against Gray Davis? This guy.
Here is Sub-Zero. Now, Plain Zero. You cold-blooded bastard. I'll tell you what I think of it. I live to see you eat that contract. But I hope you leave enough room for my fist, because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine!
That's the guy they run against Gray Davis.
They run a movie star. An action movie star.
They run a guy who's got just this epic presence. And, I mean, politics aside, all right, you know, there's lots of things I disagree with Arnold about. Mainly, don't be an economic girly man.
Meanwhile, the Democrats run Milton from Office Space.
That's right. They're running Les Nessman in Wisconsin.
My stapler. That's his campaign slogan, my stapler.
Tom Barrett. Tom, I mean, what,
elect,
what
elect
are people...
Elect him or he'll set the building on fire.
we got... out-hustled once again. I mean, and it just keeps happening and happening and happening. And at some point, we really very seriously have to learn a lesson about electoral politics, messaging, framing, message consistency. You know, there are some things, I swear to God, you know, and again, I hate to make this comparison because their politics are loathsome. Their strategies with regards to lying, myopia, all of it's loathsome to me. But what they do, what the Republicans are able to do, is stay on message. Mm-hmm. They're able to frame the debate. They're able to take the initiative. They're able to control
the narrative.
They control it. Yes, exactly.
They control the narrative. They reduce everything down to the lowest common denominator and the easiest thing to understand. They're not overly analytical. It seems this is something I've been bitching about for years. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, for years. I went back to the blog. It's amazing the number of times that I've written about this and for how long. You know, Democrats, by their very nature, the left by its very nature, prides itself on being analytical and not being followers. And the problem with that is that you don't win elections that way. Mm-hmm. You have to stay on point. You have to stay on message. And as crappy and robotic and automaton-ish it is to sort of spout bumper sticker rhetoric, damn if that doesn't win you elections.
Yeah. Instead, here's us. I mean, here's the liberal side of the debate. You know, and I'm admittedly kind of generous. I almost did like Arnold right there. I said, I mean, we've got such a crucial election coming up. And what does a big chunk of our side decide to do? Screech about a kill list that was very speciously cited, based on what some things I've read in the Washington or the New York Times, etc., that this kill is not. So you got David Sirota running around with a
idiot.
An online petition. Please don't put me on your kill list, Mr. President. And getting over freaked out that the president's going around.
No,
like,
no one is more bloated by his own self-importance or melodramatic than David Sirota. Mm. They're just, I mean, Greenwald does it. Well, self-importance-wise, Greenwald is the king. But when it comes to melodrama, nobody does it better than Sirota. Just
That's right.
Nobody.
That's right. And so you also have Scahill, and you got, as you said, Glenn Greenwald, and those are sort of, and there are hundreds and thousands of others.
But the important thing to remember is that they're not quote unquote our side, and they and that once again, that's the liberal conceit. They pride themselves on not being anyone's side, mm-hmm. because you can't take a side. If you're the attitude is that if you're someone who's a liberal, you're progressive, you're on the left, you pride yourself on, you know what, I'm a free thinker, I don't take sides. And what happens is you get a bunch of people who constantly live by sort of the view from nowhere. And, you know, Greenwald is more than the priceless example of that, because he's actually literally doing the view from nowhere. Because half the time he's talking to us, he's not even in this country.
So what do? I mean, we end up shooting ourselves in the foot. And that's precisely what we do. We follow along with Glenn Greenwald. We follow along with David Sirota. Everyone starts losing their minds.
I think, question.
I think there's a considerable number of people. I mean, you should see some of the mail I get from liberals.
Right.
I mean, from liberals. In fact, I'm going to talk about a couple of the most recent emails I've received.
Oh, that'll be a winner.
On the after party. And, you know,
I don't get a lot of those, thankfully. I really don't.
I mean,
that's good.
The most heinous emails I receive, the most insulting emails I get are from progressives who are just bent out of shape over the fact that, you know, it's always drone strikes, and it's always, right. You know, it's the same list of things that we've talked about over and over and over and over again.
But I said a long time, I don't listen to right wing talk radio because it annoys the crap out of me. But I would much rather listen to right wing talk radio or Fox News than read an op-ed piece from a liberal against Obama.
Oh, God,
I really
yeah.
would, because it's like, you know, the shrieking from the right, I'm used to it. I know what to expect.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the stuff that comes from the ostensible left that pisses me off to no end.
Yeah.
Because it really is, you know, it's self-defeating. It's shooting yourself in the foot. It's a complete abdication of political reality. Mm-hmm. You are not going to get Dennis Kucinich elected. Yeah. Deal with it. Shut the hell up and get behind the person who really is going to give you 70 to 80% of what you want, as opposed to, regardless how much you try to conflate the two parties, it's horseshit. Rather than giving you 10% of what you want and laughing at you about it.
Well, unless the Democratic side of things starts to wise up, get its act together, the next 4+ years are going to be horrendous. I mean, it's going to be really, 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 really bad. Got to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
So there's a lot on the line over the next several months, and unless we really start to hustle and figure out a way to have some sort of message cohesion, some sort of consistency, and really get out in front of things, it's just going to be a bloodbath in November. And I sort of had that first twinge of Romney could actually win this thing this past week. You know, I was kind of feeling I really wasn't thinking in terms of November as far as Romney winning, and then it just kind of popped into my head because I started to see some of the ads going up and some of the things that the Republicans are saying, and then thinking about how that's resonating with undecided voters and going, oh my God, you know what, this could actually work. I mean, they could actually pull this thing out.
How many more jobs reports do we have before the election?
Well, there's one every month. It's going to be there's one in July, August, September, October. And then
a lot of it will depend on those. It just will. I mean, this is something, you know, I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago that it kind of has turned into, I mean, I think Barack Obama's got a pretty good lead, but a lot of elections these days come down to, you know, it's musical chairs. It's whoever happens to be have the good news and the wind at their back when, you know, when you cross the finish line, when you know, when the music stops.
What's making everything worse is that there's no messaging with regards to what's causing the economy to kind of potentially stall a little bit here, if not backslide. And there's no discussion of that. And the discussion ought to be hinged around Republican sabotage. And I think more and more are sabotage. More and more Democrats are starting to pick up this meme, but not, again, not broadly. It's not really, you know,
right.
Picked
it's
up
not, it's
sort
not
of steam.
A talking point, and yeah. It should be.
It really, really should be. Because
it should be. There's demonstrable proof that they've been doing this. And it's very easy to get in front of a camera and say, look, here's the proof. This is the stuff that's happened over the past 3.5 years. This, and this. And this is what they're waiting for now. They are going to continue to hamstring, to do whatever they can to hamstring the economy in the hopes of winning the election.
That's right. That's right. Because the focus became, and this is the Republican sabotage strategy, the focus became, got to cut the deficit. The debt is out of control. So what are we going to do? We can't spend anything. Stop spending. So Republicans come into office in 2010 or the beginning of 2011, technically, and they start blocking everything the president wants to do with regards to continuing to stimulate economic growth. And so nothing can happen. There's nothing you can do. He tries the American Jobs Act. That gets filibustered and stopped and dead in its tracks. And so what does he try to do after that? Tries to pick it apart and tries to pass individual sections of it. And most of those fail, too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of listening to and by that, I say that sarcastically, listening to Republicans bitch ad nauseum about, you know, how the president has not given them a jobs plan. No, actually, of course, he came up with a plan when it comes to stimulating the economy and growing jobs. You know, you idiots just shot it down because that's what you do. You will shoot down anything that comes out of the White House, period.
Yeah. And concurrently, what they're saying, too, is while they're shooting these things down, what they're also prescribing solutions which will not work. They're subscribing. Right. Let's have deficit reduction. Let's just stop spending, cut spending. That'll stimulate the economy. Let's continue to cut taxes. Let's cut taxes even more. That'll stimulate the economy, even though cutting taxes will also just destroy the deficit. I mean, really just balloon it beyond where it is now. I mean, and this is the Wall Street Journal talking, not just me.
The most depressing thing about it really is the idea that if Romney comes even close to winning, that really will be depressing. So not just simply because he's a Republican, but because he's an awful candidate. He is the worst possible candidate at this time. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely horrible. You know, out of touch, rich guy who, you know, admits that he likes to fire people, robotic, completely lacking in empathy. He really is the worst person possible for the Republicans to nominate. Even Bruce Willis said it today. Was it today or yesterday? Did you hear that one?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That he's
brilliant stuff.
He's a disappointment or something like that. Yeah, I don't know who Bruce Willis would have rather run for president,
who gives a crap.
But you know,
he's also in the Expendables, by the way. Important to keep in mind the new Expendables movie.
What makes Romney, I think, the most dangerous side of Romney is again his lack of core convictions. The fact that it's obvious that this guy can be manipulated and sort of puppeteered, and that's what worries me more than anything else. I mean, he's so willing to pander to the Tea Party right. Despite his record, I mean, his record shows something kind of moderate. But, you know, this guy is really interested in making sure the Tea Party wing of the Republicans, which to me, most Republicans are, whether they admit it or not, are Tea Party Republicans. I mean, they all kind of agree. But, I mean, he's really, really prepared to give them what they want, and that's scary. That's the most frightening thing. And so what do we know what happens if we don't get our crap together? And I keep wanting to say the S word. If we don't, then here's what we're, I mean, everything that has been achieved in the last 3-4 years will be reversed. I mean, it absolutely will be reversed. I mean, you can count on more and more restrictions with regards to women's reproductive rights. You can count on healthcare reform is gone, and that includes the donut hole is going to open back up again. We're going to see more tax cuts. The Bush tax cuts will be made permanent. All these things that won't stimulate economic growth, that will generate more bubble economies, more deregulation, more recessions. You know, just the worst things you can possibly imagine.
And continued economic inequality.
Exactly. And on top of all of that, another war. Why not? Let's invade Iran. Let's complete the trifecta here, because, you know, the only thing that separates Iraq and Afghanistan is Iran. So if we get into Iran, that means, you know, we'll have sort of three Middle Eastern nations in a row. Why not? It's kind of nice...
I think we win a set of steak knives if we do that.
It's a nice OCD kind of arrangement there.
Right. Three.
Well, we've got these other two. Why not get that one in the middle? Because it's
three
really...
Three is a holy number in the Bible. So
it's really bugging me. That middle nation, we just haven't gotten in there yet.
The jobs reports, more than anything else, are what will drive this election.
Yeah. It's going to have a big effect on... The winning of this election, the winning or losing. I think the pervasiveness of the super PAC lying is going, and the super PAC money,
yes,
is also going to determine all of this. Because, I mean, what they're doing now, and we're going to play this new Karl Rove commercial here in the next segment. What they're doing now is just pumping undecided voters with the most heinous lies you can come up with regarding the things that people are freaking out the most, you know. And it's what we saw the other day. In addition to Wisconsin, people freaking out so much, so badly over government deficits that they voted in, I think it was also San Jose and San Diego, to eliminate government pensions there, to actually take away pensions for people who have already earned them. The last part of the American dream, which is the idea of having a pension, it's been basically eliminated in the private sector. Pensions no longer exist, replaced by 401ks. And ask anyone who was trying to retire in 2008, 2009, 2010, what it was like to have to retire on a 401k. Mm. All right. So we're going to eliminate pensions in the public sector now, too. The last place they exist, we got to get rid of those because, oh, my God, panic button. Deficits. They're going to destroy us all. Greece. Oh, my God, Greece. I'd like to ask a few of these people screaming about Greece if they can even for a second describe what the issue is in Greece.
Or find it on a map.
Or find it on a map, better yet. So you know, American voters love to shoot themselves in the foot. And, you know, all the oldsters are going to come out. They're all going to vote for Romney because they don't want the black guy anymore. And so what's going to happen? Their donut hole is going to open up again. Who are they going to blame? Obama. Why? Well, I don't know. Because Obama actually is closing the donut hole with the health care reform legislation. But it's opening back up again. Good luck.
You're referring, of course, to the donut hole that they sit on to relieve their hemorrhoids, right?
Right. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back right after this. Oh, hey, it's time to talk about soap. And not just soap, other bath and body products. I won't necessarily elaborate on the kinds of other bath and body products there are, but I mean, I know they've got like things like hand sanitizer, they've got all kinds of things to keep you healthy and smell really good. It's bubblegenius.com, BUBBLEGENIUS.com, Bubble Genius. And here's one of the things that I've used before. It's really damn good. Here's the latest word from Bubble Genius.
Hey guys, I know I don't say this enough, but I'm going to say it now. When first comes to the show, you guys are always there for me. And you really hung in there. And you've always been so close to me. So don't take this the wrong way, but I got you something. I love you guys.
Oh, we love you too.
Bubble Genius has all kinds of stuff for dads this Father's Day, like Mr. Mister, refreshing facial spray for dudes, Pit Stop, all-natural deodorant, and I Love You Guys, powder for your nads. Something for everyone, including dear old dad, at BubbleGenius.com.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
I was talking about the Pit Stop deodorant, which I've used.
Right.
That's what I was talking about. Hey, enter your promo code Bob and Chez, BobandChez, and get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com. Let's play a little, let's play a couple of different campaign commercials, and you tell me which of these commercials is the fake one, okay? Here's commercial number one.
The infestation has begun. Parasites have crossed our borders and are sickening our country, leeching off our system, destroying us from the inside. But State Senator John McLaughlin has a plan of attack. He'll fight to keep illegal immigrants out. He supports an electrified border fence. No amnesty for parasites. John McLaughlin wants to protect you from the invaders. Vote to re-elect State Senator John McLaughlin. Paid for by the committee to re-elect State Senator John McLaughlin.
That was commercial number one. Here's commercial number two.
Washington doesn't get us. We want our borders protected. If they won't do it, we will. We want government out of our lives and out of our pocketbook. Government-run health care? We don't want it. We don't need it. We can't afford it. This is what I'd do to that law. Pull. I'm Ron Gould, and I approve this message because Washington needs a straight shooter. Pull.
And that was commercial number two.
Yeah.
Number two, obviously. Number one was from the movie Machete.
Right. That's actually where I recognized it from, but I would have figured that out anyway.
Number two is an actual guy named Ron Gould, and he does the narration on it, and he's running for Congress in, guess the state, Arizona.
Of course.
Arizona. And what he does is he takes a shotgun.
The highest... Just the most impressive negative correlation between intelligence and beauty.
That's right.
Like one of the most beautiful states in the country and just the stupidest freaking place on earth.
So what he does is he takes a shotgun and then launches the Affordable Care Act into the air and then shoots it. So we actually see the Affordable Care Act launched into the air. A shot of it flying across the sky, and then Ron Gould shoots the legislation.
I don't know, man. I think our country is too big to last. I really do. I think that we're a failed experiment. You know, it was a nice try. We lasted, more than 200 years, which isn't bad. But I think that with the political divisions being what they are, eventually this country is just – we're going to have to split into or something. I can't see a country of this size and this sort of diversity of opinions with the way media works now wedging us even further and further apart for us to ever actually come together. And, you know, this is – I'm going off on a minor tangent here, but it's almost like even in the past, say, 10 years, I've really given it a lot of thought lately, you know, considering how crazy things have gotten when it comes to divisiveness in this country. And I truly think that if we were hit by a terrorist attack right now, I think that those divisions, unlike that time after 9/11 when we all, you know, like for better or for worse, we all pulled together, whether George W. Bush was worth, you know, our sort of admiration or not, he got it across the board, uniform, mm-hmm. You know? I don't think it would happen now. I really don't. I still think that every single thing is politicized. And I think that if we were attacked tomorrow morning again, I really kind of think that those divisions would still be there, that America wouldn't rally behind Barack Obama or wouldn't rally behind whatever president.
I see what you're saying. And there have been times in my darkest hour, usually coinciding with the amount of alcohol I've consumed.
When you think about politics when you drink?
Yeah, well, I start to agree with that. And I'm not so sure. I tend to be a little more hopeful than that. I think the nation will endure. I think the Constitution will endure. I just don't believe that it'll continue to endure in the way that we are all familiar with. And I think what we're going to see, and this is the big challenge of our generation, is to wrestle back control from the big moneyed interests, and it's become even more difficult now with Citizens United and things like that. And that's going to determine where we go as a country. But I still
that's one thing that I agree with Cenk Uygur on very much is that he does say that in his opinion, the infusion of money into politics, Citizens United, all of that is the defining and the most important issue probably in the country right now.
That's right.
It really is, because everything else, that's the fruit of the poison tree, and everything that's the poison tree, and everything else stems from there.
We're gonna survive. You know, there have been other times in the nation's history which I think have actually been a little more dire, the Civil War being one of them.
Yeah, but I mean, it's God. The way we talk, and it just. It seems like that's coming again. This is not me being conspiratorial. It really isn't. I just, you got people out there who have these media outlets and these massive bullhorns, and they really are. It's all about dividing us. It is all about eliminationism. But you know, and that actually you do hear on both sides on occasion. But you do hear it more from the right. I refuse to play the both sides meme. But certainly, but the bottom line is that there still exists these outlets that prey on and foment this division. And even during the Civil War, that, at the scale that it exists now, that didn't exist. Now I don't know if we're headed for full-out war. Again, I'm not being conspiratorial here. But, man, it's like, crap, we just can't seem to come together on anything anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got a lot to say.
Across a massive swath of this country.
We're going to continue with this after a quick break, back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
So, I didn't mean to cut you off there. We were late for a break, but it's difficult to say, because while communications have expanded and democratized in this country, that also means, the door swings both ways. We have an increased opportunity to watchdog the liars and the dividers and the haters and all of that. But at the same time, it gives them an increased voice as well, because then they can get in and,
when everybody's flood. The thing that pisses me off the most is everybody's complaining about the same thing.
Yeah.
How many times have you read, post any piece on Huffington or anywhere else? Mm-hmm. And it's funny how the comments are exactly the same down both sides. You hear conservatives saying, well, you know what? Liberals just want to shut up people who disagree with them. And conservatives would never do that, which is, of course, crap. And then you'll hear the exact same thing from liberals saying, well, conservatives don't do that. The best example of that is when, say somebody dies, like a Breitbart, and you have people who are who are saying negative things about him, and it immediately turns into, conservatives are always mild-mannered. They never say things like that. Only disgusting liberals do that, which, of course, is absolute nonsense, since the vitriol and racism and hatred and just vile commentary regularly coming out of the right, go to Fox Nation any day, is any rude comment made about Breitbart by 1,000, times 1,000. And what I'm saying is that everyone seems to complain about the same things on the other side, and eventually it really does all become white noise.
Yeah, but what I was saying before, and going back to that—
And where is the truth in all of it?
let's rewind about 100 years. I think that's a good span of time to set back the clock. And, there were fewer voices spreading garbage, but there were fewer voices injected into the entire population. So where you had William Randolph Hearst running most of the newspapers in America, a good chunk of them, and then controlling basically the messaging. It was the Roger Ailes of his time.
Absolutely.
I was able to control the message of all those newspapers.
It's interesting, by the way, that piece that I wrote on Fox where I said that for a very long time, for the most part, journalistic endeavors, you know, media operations behave responsibly. I was waiting for somebody to call me on William Randolph Hearst, and nobody did, because he actually is an example of somebody who ran a massive media outlet, a massive news operation, as if it was his own personal fiefdom.
But at the time, there was no way to really call BS on Hearst newspapers. Right. You know, the only person who was able to really kind of do it was Orson Welles. But so now, fast forward 100 years, you've got a lot of Hearsts, but you have also a lot of us. And so I think in that respect, things as far as information and the dissemination of information has become more effective and more democratized. And I think it's better for America. It doesn't always seem like that, especially when, as you said, when you read those comments at the Huffington Post and things like that, it gets frustrating.
It's just a freaking shout fest.
It is.
And worse than that, here's my issue. Here's the thing that bothers me the most, is that the right has become so good at demonizing all forms of media that is not, say, Fox News, that what you're left with then is there is no singular frame of reference that everyone can agree on. You know, I mean, and this is something I know we've talked about this a couple of times before. The problem with arguing now politically is that whereas it used to be you approached a political argument and each side had pretty much the same set of facts, just differing opinions, now because of the different media outlets that are casting different things as facts and quite frankly BSing their asses off, a lot of them, or at least some of them, certainly Fox News – what you get is you get, you know, when you get into a political argument, you get two people who are approaching it with two different sets of facts, which means, you know, the Venn diagram has two separate circles that never meet because you have nothing you can agree on. And that's the problem. That, you know, that's the issue with so many media outlets and everyone going to whichever, you know, everyone congregating around whichever media outlet confirms their biases.
Well, I think the challenge, though, is not just a factual one, it's a messaging one, it's a framing one. I think the fight is for the heart and soul of those undecided independent voters that decide elections now and convincing them. And I know it's an insufferable challenge, but it's a challenge anyway, because those are the people that you really need to convince. They're convincible. So what do you do? What's the winning argument against or to convince those people?
It's a great point.
It's a forceful argument. It's a simple an argument that is easy to understand. But then it's also there's also another layer to it. It's about creating a juggernaut of facts and finding facts that to those people are the most reliable. So you go to places like factcheck.org. You attain facts from the other side. I mean, I've been going to Wall Street Journal and conservative bloggers and all of that and finding their facts, using their facts against them. It's like that guy who's blasting the president over the so-called increase in the real deficit versus the actual deficit. And say, well, look, it reduced your own numbers show that he cut the deficit. Mm. You know, and so those are that becomes indisputable because you're using their own facts against them. So there are ways to thread that needle. And if you get, you know, it's always going to happen. You get this far left guy, you get me versus Andrew Breitbart zombies. It's going to be a frustrating debate to listen to because it's just going to turn into a lot of shouting. And that's not the debate.
James O'Keefe was eaten by Andrew Breitbart zombie. Zombie Andrew Breitbart comes back and, you know,
yeah.
Well, rips the rest of Stranahan's teeth out.
The direction has got to be to, and there's nothing wrong with shaming the other side, too. You know, it's possible to convince people by shaming the other side.
Right.
You know, so there's a way to effectively do this, and I think it involves just coming up with those good.
I think you're right. It's interesting because I'm accused a lot, you know, of not highlighting some of the negative things that are done on the left and highlighting more of the ones that are done on the right. But you know, it's like I watched I watched a little bit of Lawrence O'Donnell last night, and I'm admittedly very, very picky when it comes to, and I know we're getting off base here, and I apologize, but I'm admittedly very picky when it comes to what I want a centrist or progressive commenter to be like. I don't like Cenk. I don't like being yelled at. I don't like Ed Schultz because I really don't like being yelled at.
Well, you know what it is with Ed? It's not so much that he yells. It's like Al Sharpton. It's very simplistic. It's very,
yeah, I don't need,
it's very predictable.
And I don't need combative. I'm just not in the freaking mood.
Those fat cats on Wall Street.
Right.
It's like,
exactly.
Oh, come on. Come up with something that's a little more original. Some different insight that isn't
exactly
the same.
Now, by the same token, you know, I really like Rachel Maddow, obviously. I think
yes.
She's brilliant.
Yes.
And I like Lawrence O'Donnell, but like I was watching Lawrence O'Donnell when he was doing the story with Joe Connison on Mitt Romney's uniform thing, how he used to have a Michigan whatever the hell it was uniform,
police
and he
uniform,
apparently
yeah.
pulled people over, which isn't a bad story. Nothing wrong with that. But watching O'Donnell sell it. And, you know, Mitt Romney, the way, you know, the cadence and the way he speaks, Mitt Romney had a fetish for men in uniform. And I'm like, I want to shut you off right now because, you know, I am center left and I don't want to hear that. Yeah. You know, I think that's stupid and inflammatory and unnecessary. You know, it's like, give me, like you said, you know, give me the facts and make it entertaining to the point where I'll want to watch. That's cool. I can deal with that. I want that. You know, that helps me go out into the world, as you've discussed many times, Bob, and go and do likewise and tell people, hey, look, these are the facts. You hear about this. But the ridiculous sort of histrionics mm-hmm. that from the others from the left that are the same things done on the right always pisses me off because I don't like the argument being made, well, look, Fox does it, so we're going to do it too, and that kind of crap. And it's things like that that really sort of, you know, rub me the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can understand that. I think that in particular should have been part of maybe an extended kind of kicker piece about how Republicans like to play dress them up. Like, and I do a montage of all the Republicans either dressing up like Confederate reenactors or dressing up in flight suits and cod pieces and, you know, or what like dressing up like soccer moms and things like that. You know, that's one of the things they do. They like to dress in various kinds of, I don't know, like village people. So again, I don't know.
Village people.
Now I'm sounding
that would
like
be
here.
That would be great though. You know, yeah, it's a great idea. You know, I could totally see George W. Bush as the pilot, and you know, Mitt Romney as the state trooper, and Ronald Reagan as the cowboy.
That's right.
It'd be great.
And that's the
would
big
be the
one.
Construction worker.
I totally
which,
forgot.
which latent homosexual among the Republicans who is a would be the construction worker.
Man, but you know what? I mean, what these guys ought to be doing, and this is what Rachel Maddow does so damn well, present effective frames and memes and just chunks of delicious, delicious fact and give those to people to use to repeat, you know, when they're standing at the water cooler at work the next day. You know who ought to be on MSNBC? As often as Rachel Maddow, Tom Hartman. Exactly.
Tom Hartman, yeah.
Exactly. Because he's one of these Maddow kind of guys who knows how to construct an argument, who knows how to find those facts that you go, holy crap, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I've been thinking. Or that's exactly the way I can win this debate with my idiot uncle who's a conservative. This is the bit of information that I really, really needed to make this case. I mean, I've always felt that the facts are on our side. As Stephen Colbert likes to say, reality has a well-known liberal bias.
Right.
But it's just, it's in the presentation of those facts that makes all the difference. So, you know, we have a couple of minutes left. I want to play this new Karl Rove Crossroads GPS commercial and get that out of the way, because everything else that we meant to talk about today, we're going to bleed over into the after party. But here's the new Karl Rove commercial, and it's just got one big massive lie in it. and ironic coming from Karl Rove. Let's listen to this.
Why isn't the economy stronger? In the seconds it takes to watch this, our national debt will increase 1.4 million. In 2008, Barack Obama said,
"We can't mortgage our children's future on a mountain of debt."
Now he's adding $4 billion in debt every day, borrowing from China for his spending. Every second, growing our debt faster than our economy. Tell Obama, stop the spending. Support the New Majority Agenda at newmajorityagenda.org.
Is that not nearly as fun as the previous one with a rapidly aging housewife?
It's a shame.
But this one had a gigantic lie in there. First of all, it correlates the debt and the economy. Why isn't the economy stronger? Well, the debt. Well, that's not why the economy slipped into recession. That's not why the recovery is slow. It's not because of the national debt, for God's sake. I mean, Ronald Reagan tripled the debt during his 8 years as president. The economy did okay in the 1980s. Furthermore, he says that Barack Obama is responsible for $4 billion being added in debt every day, which is also not true. The $4 billion in new debt every day is actually true, but it's based, what they're basing their numbers on gross debt, which includes government loans to itself. The thing that is hilarious about this commercial, and when I say hilarious, I mean not really that hilarious.
Depressing.
Karl Rove and George W. Bush are responsible for $4 billion being added to the debt every day. It's them. Because you look at what's driving the debt, and it's those things that we've talked about time and time again here. You know, it's the Bush tax cuts. It's the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's the economic downturn. These are the things that are driving the deficit and the debt. And Karl Rove is partly to blame for all of that. You know, they wanted to spend their way and war their way to re-election in 2004. So when they gave out massive handouts to rich people in the form of just gigantic tax cuts and a couple of wars in there, too, because no one wants to change horses midstream. So they go to war, and a war president's going to be, I mean, George Bush even said it. I mean, I want to be a war president. That's how you get reelected. George Bush said that to his biographer. So these are the things that are causing the debt right now. And I don't think the president's done. President's actually curbed the deficit. And he's got the lowest annualized increase in government spending since Clinton. I mean, even lower than Reagan, first George Bush, second George Bush. Only Clinton's was lower. So it's a big lie. But it's, you know, sleep tight, America. This is being injected into the brains of undecideds all across the country, right?
Yep. There you go.
It's a tragedy. And that's why what you do, Chez, what I do, what everyone listening to this show does is so crucial between now and
then. I apparently write exclusively about pot smoking. I am on the marijuana legalization beat.
That's right. Somehow we've assigned beats to ourselves, and I assure you.
I am like the pot smoking community's least favorite person, apparently.
And if you're not really into numbers, probably stay away from what I've been writing lately.
You've been very wonky.
It's
so like us. You're very wonky and, you know, serious, and I'm making fun of people who smoke too much weed.
Yeah, on that note, please help support the Daily Banter, which is now mine and Chez's home away from home. And we write there almost every day, something new there every day. Plus, you can catch Ben Cohen's work on the Daily Banter, also Oliver Willis on the Daily Banter is blogging there regularly, so check all of that out. It's not just quickie rants. It's nice extended think pieces and essays, for sure. It's always good to see that, because lots of meat to sink your teeth into. So we're going to talk about the rest of everything I had in mind for the free show. We're going to talk about that over in the after party. Let's see. What do we got here? New nonpartisan fact check piece verifying everything I've been saying about the president and the deficit. We're going to talk about that. Oh, some good news about the economy. I'm going to talk about that. Bad news about Reagan's record on the economy. Talk about that a little more. Romney's getting a massive bonus if he wins the election. And, let's see, a bunch of other stuff that we didn't talk about. The Bush tax cuts. We're going to talk about that. And then also in the after party, we're going to recap Food Network Star. Oh, I am not Satan. I want to make sure that's abundantly clear on the after party.
That's because I am.
A zombie cannibal update. Why Kathy Lee Gifford is an idiot. And so much more. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely. See you on the after party. Bye.